Mom goggles, we all need them, right? That's funny. Let's have all the moms stand, and we'll just pray and ask God to bless you the more. Amen. All the rest of us, just reach your hand out towards them. If they're close by, lay your hand on them. And we'll like I said, it's just Jesus is the answer. And it's Mother's Day, so Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up each and every one of these moms to you today. And Father, we lay them on the altar of God where the blood of Jesus is. This is the, Father, we pray for these moms as this job that they do is the most thankless and the most reckless and probably the hardest of any job ever known to man. And Father, we pray that you increase these women. Father, you increase their minds, their hearts, their faith walk with you, Lord. And Father, we pray that they know, Lord, that they work for an audience of one. They're not looking for the approval of even their children, Lord, but they walk in your shadow. They walk in your heart, Lord God. They speak your word with truth. And Father, I pray that these women are blessed as they pray, God, for their husbands, for their men, for their children, God, that they stand in the gap between you and their children. And Father, we declare that they are blessed, they are highly favored, and they are ever the increasing with faith, Father. And we thank you for each woman represented in this room and for those listening on Facebook and under the sound of my voice all around the planet, God, that each one of these women on Mother's Day is blessed and highly favored and ever increasing in you. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So happy Mother's Day, everybody. Thanks for coming. We're in the middle of a series called Got Faith, right? And we just started last Sunday, and I received a couple of emails this week with people, curious about faith, because in the message last week, we discussed several things that maybe some people never even knew or haven't even heard. For example, we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, and that's kind of what the church would call the definition of faith, but I call it more of a description, because it's definitions can pinhole or pigeonhole certain things, but I call it a description. It's how faith works, and we discovered that if we're going to have victory, if we're going to increase in everything that we do as believers begins and ends with faith. You have to have it. The Bible tells us that we all have a portion of faith. We are given a portion of faith, but it's up to us to increase faith. Okay? Well, Pastor Dan, how do we increase our faith? Can you pray for it? You can pray all day. That's not going to increase your faith. You can ask Jesus for it. You can ask all day. That's probably not going to increase your faith. Most of our time trying to gather faith is we're doing it in the wrong way and the wrong heart. So today, we're going to discuss how to increase your faith. If faith is the most important thing in the Christian's life, we probably ought to discover how to increase it. Would you agree? Right? It says in Romans, we'll read in a little bit, that we have to believe that God is who he is, and in Hebrews, in Hebrews it says that we have to believe that God is who he is and that he will do what he says, or our believing is in vain. So if we're going to have faith to be saved, anybody saved, right? You have to begin with the faith of God that he is who he is and he says what he says will come to pass, okay? So let's start in Hebrews chapter 11, if you brought a Bible with you. If not, we have some on the table out there. You can take it with you. And I have to let you know up front, today my regular Bible is in IR. It's on injured reserve. It's been sent to the shop to be rebound because how many of you know if your Bible's torn up, your life isn't? Well, mine from Hebrews to maps is sliding and falling out, and I'm beginning to lose pages. So I had to put it in the shop. It's being rebound. I have my other study Bible here. But the problem with this Bible is the words are really small. So I'll use my glasses and a magnifying glass to read to you or read off the screen. How about that? Okay? So verse 1 in chapter 11 of Hebrews says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Last week we talked about that there is a relationship between faith and hope. You have to have hope to begin, is the beginning of faith. We talked about the double cheeseburger that I never got all day on my birthday. Nobody even bought me a double cheeseburger, and I talked about it all service long. Okay? So here's what happens. We have hope, right? Hope starts in your mind. As people, we think in pictures. So we have we see things and we think, so we have hope. So then we have evidence of things not seen. So that's hope, okay? And then it says in that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you're going to add faith to your hope, and that's going to create that thing that you're hoping for. Okay? Does that make sense? Listen last week if you want to understand that a little more. So we can understand that faith and hope are important to the believer. They are the most important things. And it says in verse 2, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Who were the elders? Well, if you read the rest of chapter 11, they're all listed there. You talk about Abraham, talk about Noah, talk about Rahab the harlot. I touched on that last week. I said, if Rahab can be in the heroes of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, your past is probably not going to hold you back. She was, you know, a lady of the night. Okay? She was a harlot. Yet God used her for the children of Israel to take over the promised land. So don't let your past hold you back. We say here all the time at the Bridge that your past will never define your future. So by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And then the third verse says this. It says, by faith, okay, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That is key to getting faith. Now, Jesus, or God the Father, in Genesis chapter 1, framed the worlds. How did he frame the worlds? By saying with his mouth the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. He produced the world, framed it with the Word of God by faith. Amen. That's important. Now, knowing that faith is so important to God, we can see if we bounced ahead to verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God without faith. That's kind of important. I don't know if you know that or not. And he says that for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you have the faith to believe God is who He is and He says what He says, that pleases God. That's a great place to start with faith. Amen. How do I gain faith? That's what we're going to talk about today. What else is it important? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, we have to have faith to even be saved. You can't claim that you're saved and not have any faith. Because it says, by grace you've been saved through faith. You have to have it to be saved. That not of yourselves, this is a gift of God. Again, there's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. You show up and we'll read in Romans 10 in a minute how this takes place. It's kind of important to know. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't even brag about being saved. That's really kind of a bummer. It's like, I want to brag about it. So it's important to know that faith makes God happy. We have to have faith to be saved. And we have to have faith to even receive from God. If you want to pray for something, you have to have faith for it. Because it says in James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith. It's not like a grocery store where you can go in and grab something and say, I got it. You have to have some faith to ask. And then look what he says. This would be a good verse to have on your refrigerator, just to read every day, just to increase your faith. Okay, it says this, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Ooh, here we go. We're going to throw the doubting in because, you know, Christian people will help you with that. They'll help you doubt. because they'll be like, that ain't gonna happen. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, right? Driven and tossed by the wind. These are people who can't decide if they're saved, right? Do I have the faith to be saved? I'm going to ask God for this, but then I'm like, I just don't know. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There is no, what is Jesus called? He's called the solid rock. He's been referenced in the cornerstone, right? He is our solid rock, our foundation. Well, how can we be double-minded if he's our solid rock? Because we're missing faith, okay? Our faith wavers because we only have a little bit. So our project today, what we're going to learn today, that how do we get it? How do we receive it? How do we get it into our heart? Aren't you excited about that? I can tell you're on the edge of your seat because it's Mother's Day and you want to go eat, okay? So Romans chapter 10, we'll start right there, and we're going to figure out how do we get faith? How do we receive it? Don't you want to be a faith giant where people call you to pray for their stuff and people say, hey, I want to pray with you because your faith is outstanding? Okay, just me then. You can call me if you want to pray, all right? Romans chapter 10, look at verse 8, okay? This is how we get faith right here, all right? It says, but what does it say? This is a quote right here. He says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's speaking to your faith. It's in your heart and in your mouth, or it's supposed to be. And then verse 9 talks about how to be saved. Let's put this over here so I can see it. He says, that if you confess what? The word with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart. Okay, this is how we're receiving faith, that God raised him from the dead, you will be. That's how you do it. Am I saved? Have you done that? Because if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you are saved. Okay? That's a great place to start getting faith. Right? Pretty much salvation will get you in the door. And then look at verse 10. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It starts with your heart. Do you believe it? Yeah. Do you believe it? Yeah. Because you're not going to be a double-minded man if you believe with your heart. There's two things that control your body, your mind and your heart. Which one's in control? Okay? Because if you haven't renewed your mind, your heart doesn't have a chance. Right? It's getting things from here to here and here to here. You get it from here to here, you've won. You get it past your mind, that where your mind, will, and emotions live, and you will have control over your life. For if with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yes, you're my Lord. Okay? For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, capital H, will not be put to shame. Okay, that's a quote exactly from Isaiah chapter 28. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. This is for everybody. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. This was written in a time when the Jews and the Greeks were at odds with each other because a lot of the children of Israel didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Okay, then look at verse 13, which ought to comfort your heart. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Does that exclude you because of your past? Does that exclude you because you have a divorce? Does that exclude you because you failed out of college? Does that exclude you because you got fired this week? Does that exclude you because your wife ran off with the mailman? Does that exclude you because your mama won't talk to you anymore? No. Whoever, okay? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe of him, in him, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay? How can they know Jesus if nobody's told them? Okay? They can't have faith because nobody shared it with them. All right? Kind of starts there. And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? Again, quote from Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring gospel of peace. You know, we talked about that several weeks ago in another series. The gospel brings peace no matter what. Who bring glad tidings of good things. Now listen, verse 16 and 17 are important. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Those are people who deny Jesus is the Lord. How can they get faith if they don't believe he is who he is and he'll do what he says he'll do? He says, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Our report is the gospel. If you're sharing the gospel with somebody, you are increasing that person's faith. Okay? You have to have the gospel to even begin to receive faith. And we're going to go there in a minute because look at what verse 17 says. So then, faith, here's the answer to all your questions about where do I get faith from. It says, so then, faith comes by hearing. We're going to talk about that word hearing. Because how many of you know you can hear something, but you don't listen?
Yeah.
Okay? And how can you listen? How can you listen and hear and understand if you don't get it? It's important. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase your faith? Faith starts right here. Yeah. Starts right here with this book. It's important. That word hearing, let's talk about that word for a second. Because it literally means to listen to the sound of. If you are really hearing, you are listening. And it's registering. Okay? And it also says to understand the message of what is being said or the reality of what's being said. I read the Word of God for years and had no understanding. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. And let me prove it to you. Okay? You do not have to understand. You will, well, let me say this. You will never understand how God works. Okay? Now, let me put this in context, okay, before you all freak out and walk out and go, that guy's crazy. How are we supposed to read the word and not understand it? Well, listen. I don't understand how faith works. I don't understand how people's legs grow out when you lay hands on them. I don't understand how God heals congenitive heart disease in people and they live a complete long life. I do not understand how that works. But I do understand that the Word of God says that God sent His Son to heal us. Okay? Now, that being said, I don't understand how an airplane flies. This is a 60-ton vehicle. Okay? And yet, I want to go to Hawaii. Because I've never been. We book plans to go to Hawaii. Because we're going to go on vacation. And we'll take everybody with us. Yes. All right? All right? It's the church that goes to Hawaii. Okay, so here we are. We've made plans. The day comes. We go to the airport to get on the plane. And I walk up and I look at this airplane and I go, we're not going to Hawaii, gang. Sorry. I don't understand how this 60-ton vehicle is going to fly. So I'm going to just not go. I'm going to sacrifice the blessing of going to Hawaii because I don't understand how the airplane flies. How idiotic is that? I would get a beatdown of epic proportion. Drag everybody to the airport. Everybody's excited about going to Hawaii, but then I pass on the blessing of going to Hawaii because I don't understand how it works. Let's talk about tithing for a minute. I don't understand how that works. All I know is what it says, and that's what I do. And the increase comes. The blessing comes. I don't understand how. I don't know what spiritual principle or how God's mind manipulates that thing or it functions in his mind or in the spiritual realm. All I'm doing is being obedient. So if we're going to go to Hawaii, we're going to be obedient, have trust and faith that this vehicle is going to get us over this huge body of water and we're going to go to Hawaii and have a good time. Most of us don't even think twice about having faith for this airplane to fly. Let me tell you something. When we get the Word of God out of our mind into our heart, you aren't even going to think twice about healing. You're not even going to think twice about giving. You're not going to be thinking, when the promises of God in that book, when you start reading that book and you read the promises of God, your mind and your heart are going to link up, and you're not even going to think twice about how this works, because it's just like the airplane. You're just going to get on it and ride it out. Because no matter what, when the word is in your heart, that's where faith begins. Where faith begins, where the word of God is known.
Amen.
Okay, does that make sense? It's that easy. Why do we have to struggle so hard trying to understand how God's going to do something in our life, and yet we'll get on the airplane. We'll get in our car to go to work tomorrow morning, and it'll start right up. We don't think twice about believing God for faith for a car to start. Right? We don't have to pray and intercede and fill out a connect card and get our whole staff praying and believing God that the light's going to come on when we walk into a room. Why is it so hard for us to believe that God is who he is and is going to say and do what he says?
Amen.
Just like the airplane, just like the lights, just like gravity. Yeah, healing, prosperity, joy. How about joy? How about anybody need some joy in this place?
Yeah.
Anybody need some people to mend some relationships?
Yeah.
If you pray, it says that can't remember, just lost it. I hate it when that happens. Anyway, so it's possible to believe it without understanding it, if that makes sense. Right? And it starts with the Word of God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's talk about the Word of God for a minute. I'm super excited about our building when we get it, and we start on Wednesday nights, because one of the first things we're going to do, the first series out of Wednesday nights, is going to be how to read and understand the Bible. Because people try to read it, and they're like, I just don't get it. It's like, well, there's easier ways to get it and understand and see it, okay? Because this thing is powerful.
Yeah.
We'll see that in a minute. Look at 2 Timothy verse 6, 3, chapter 3, verse 16, okay? It says, let's start at verse 14, sorry. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Just because salvation is just the beginning of your life. Remember, a couple weeks ago we talked about sanctification and holiness. It's a process. It's a progression. You start at salvation and you grow into holiness. It's called sanctification. And he's telling a young Timothy pastor at Ephesus, don't forget where you came from. Keep learning all the time. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you know everything, even though you think you might. I did. When I got saved, I was ready to preach, teach, travel, make billions of dollars, bless everybody. Yikes, right? Verse 15, and from that childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's how you got saved. We just read it in Romans chapter 10, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how you got saved, Tim. Come on. Then look at verse 16. You should highlight, circle, draw circles around, listen. All Scripture, where your faith comes from, is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable.
Amen.
Business class 101. You take a business class, what's the first thing they teach you? You're in business to be profitable, to make money, not to make friends, not to be buddies, not to give everything away, to make money. Okay, to be profitable. So the Word of God is profitable. That's kind of important. It's not going to hold you back, tie you down, give you a bunch of rules that you can't follow. It's profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know what those things are called? Growing. If we're going to grow in God, we have to read the Word. Right? And then look at verse 17. That's just a kicker in the face. That the man of God, anybody saved in this place today, the man of God may be complete,
thoroughly
equipped for every good work. What's every good work? Every good work that Jesus did. If you want to equip your life and be protected and sane, get in the Word of God. Timothy, Paul's telling Timothy, everything you need to know about your life is right there. Doctrine is what we base our beliefs on. That's our teaching. That's this right here. That's Jesus died. He was raised from the dead, took our sins, so we can live a life of victory. That's our doctrine. That's what we believe. Okay, reproof is finding a proof and then reproving it that it's either right or wrong, okay? Correction is restoring things to their proper use or place. Because you grew up in religion doesn't mean that it was right.
Amen.
Thank you, babe. Thank you, Pastor. I didn't know that. Yeah. Just because the representative of God has misrepresented God or took his name in vain, that's what that means, doesn't make it right. Just because some specific religion has a list of beliefs doesn't make them right. We reproof those and reprove those to line up with what this book says.
Amen.
Listen to the Grace series.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is all about these days. Correction and instruction. You don't know how to do something? Send a book. We got a promise book out there that has every single, well, no, I don't know about every single subject in it, but I would bet it's pretty close. I bet it's pretty close. If you need some wisdom, ask God and believe. If you need to learn how to tithe, look what it says. If you want the windows of heaven open to you, that's probably a good place to start. You know, you need some wisdom in certain areas, that book will help you. And it's all scripture. Everything comes from this, instruction, doctrine, reproof, correction. The instruction part is the most important part. How are you going to know what to do unless you read the instructions?
Amen.
Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what I used to teach at kids. B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. Everything will change with the Word of God. And then he says, with this, the man will be perfectly prepared for life. Do you ever start a project and not be prepared and be like, I just don't understand this? If you increase your faith, you will be prepared for every situation. And you increase your faith by reading the Word. Look at, turn back to Hebrews, but this time stop by chapter 4. You're right there, a couple books over to the right. Stop by Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 12. This is one of my absolute favorite verses in all the Bible, because when I tell people that the Word of God is the absolute truth on the planet, that it is the plumb line to hang your life on, this is the scripture that I'll turn to. Because listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. It says, for the Word of God, that's what we're talking about, that's where faith comes from, the Word of God, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I could teach a whole series on this one verse. One verse, a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. If you read the Word and get into it and find what it says, it'll open up your emotions to a point of being painful. Like a two-edged sword would slice you in half. And to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner in the thoughts and intents of the heart. Measure everything against the Word of God. Everything. It's important. And if you don't have one, we have one. YouVersion Bible app on your phone. I wanted to put the thing up there. If you go to the App Store and download that, you can listen to the Bible for free. They have a plan in there. It'll listen to, I don't know, three or four books a different day and whatever. Simple. I'm telling you with all of my heart, you put it in and get it in your heart, your life will change. You will have instruction. You will have correction, and be humble enough to be corrected.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I've missed this my whole life. I've shared before, I grew up Catholic. How many more rules do you need? And you know, this, and you got to go see this person, and you got to go do that, and the place smells weird because all the candles. It's like, is this really God? I don't know. But I, you know, whatever. People love that, but it's not what I see in here. Because I read this book and I see verses like that, that the Word of God is, it's living, it's moving, it's changing all people all the time. That's amazing to me. And it's sharp. Sometimes it's going to hurt. When you got that guy on your job, you want to just sock him in the head, and yet it says, walk in love and love your neighbor and love your brother, and then it says, pray for that person. And I'm like, but can I just hit him with my car and you deal with him, you know, kill him and send him your way, and Jesus, you take care of it. Can I? Isn't that how this works? And no. You know, when we want to be in charge of everything and everybody, and we're, you know, we're told to walk in humility and let others lead, let others grow, and nobody's got it figured out, that's tough. That cuts. That hurts. Sacrificing in service, that's painful some days. When the only day you got to sleep is Sunday, you got to get up at 6 in the morning and go to church and do setup and be with the kids and do this, that's painful. That's being cut with the sword, because that's what we're told to do. It's amazing to me that, you know, everybody wants to be a Christian, but nobody follows the book. It's tough. It hurts. It's not easy. It's not for the simple. But you will win, and you will grow in all those areas as we go. It's believing it and trusting it. So over in Hebrews, a couple pages over in chapter 6, in verse 17, he says, "For the thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise." Anybody an heir of promise in here? Okay, I'll receive that. Yeah. "The immutability of his counsel confirmed by an oath." The oath is the book. The immutability of his counsel is he can't change. He can't change the book. If we're going to grow and expand our hearts in it, we have to believe it because it's solid. It's not going to move. You know, when builders build, they hang a plumb line. They balance everything off of that plumb line because it's exactly straight up and down. And if it was crooked or off a little bit, how many of you know, I was a flooring contractor for years. If I started laying tile right here and was off by an eighth of an inch, by the time I get out there 20 feet away, it's going to be off by 5 inches. And a lot of us end up wrong doctrine when we start being saved, and in 10 years we're bored and disgusted with it because we're so far off. Stay with the book. Its immutability means it's unchanging, and so is God. Verse 18, "That by two immutable things, which it is impossible for God to lie," okay, "we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that's set before us." Again, back to hope. Hope and faith run together. You can't even begin to have faith without hope, right? That's amazing. God can't fail. He can't change. And you have to get that in your heart. Is God going to help you or not? That's on our faith. Is the airplane going to fly or not?
Yes.
Let's look at Jesus once. How did Jesus handle this? How did Jesus handle the word? How did Jesus, he said his faith was immeasurable, like the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus handle life? Because he was here, he was on the earth, and very, oh my gosh. Quickly in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, look what Jesus, how Jesus handled the word of God. Because it's amazing. And if he is an example, and he is the way we're supposed to treat it and operate in it, look how he handled temptation. Anybody tempted? Anybody under the burden of temptation in here, right? To drink, to smoke, to sin, to sock your neighbor, beat up your, you know, whatever. I mean, that's every day. Okay? Well, for me, I don't. You guys are saints. You know, I just want to beat people up and whatever. I guess it's just me. Not Chase. Yeah, I'm joking. Kind of. Okay. So then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Right? Jesus was holy man and holy God. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. I don't know why they call it fasting. That's just crazy, because there ain't nothing fast about it. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, notice the tempter, the enemy, will always question your salvation. Always. Well, if you're saved, why are you doing that? If you really love God, why are you being this way? See what he does here. I thought it was just me. Now when a tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Look what Jesus says. He says, but he answered and said, it is written. Jesus is using the word to combat this temptation. He says, this is straight out of the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus quoted scripture to him. Do you think that would work for us when the enemy comes and is tempting us to do whatever and do stupid things, and we quoted scripture to him? How did you think Jesus quoted that scripture? Did he have it on his hand, written on his arm, or a tattoo? I think he had it in his heart, and he just spoke it out of his mouth. But look, the enemy doesn't quit. He keeps going. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, questioning who he is, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, even the enemy knows scripture. What? The enemy, the devil's going to say scripture? You know, in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus gets out of the boat and walks on the land, there's a crazy guy there from Victorville, and it was actually the Gadarenes, and he was naked, and he was cutting himself with stones, and he was out of his mind. He was demon-possessed. And Jesus walked up to him and said, come out. And the demon responded to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, Son of God, he knew who he was. Even the enemy knows, and the demons know who he is. And here the enemy's talking scripture, quoting scripture, and not only scripture, but it's Psalm 91. Everybody loves Psalm 91. It's like, come on. He says, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's even testing him, saying, even if you jump off here, the angels will save you. The enemy is twisting everything here. Yeah. He can't create anything. He's just counterfeiting everything. And here he's counterfeiting scripture. But yet look at Jesus says to him, it is written again, second time, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the Torah, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, had it in there. Had it in his heart, just coming out of his mouth. Is that a picture for us? When the enemy comes to you and you say, but my God says that I am to love each person, to walk by faith and not by sight, and all those things. Again, third time. You would think you would have it figured out by now. The devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Look what you can have. Look at the cars. If you just swipe this thousands of dollars from your work, look at what you can have. If you just sacrifice your testimony for 35 seconds with this person, look what you can have. That's how the enemy works. He twists everything. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. If you fall down. He questioned who he was. And notice, all of these things center around the pride of life. Who you are, what you can have, what I can do for you, maybe being famous, all those things. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. This would be a good place to start. If you're dealing with temptation in your life and you're having trouble in a certain area, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Put on a little secret place music. Watch what happens. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's just a picture of beating temptation down and pushing it back. Good place to start is James 4:7. Write it on your hand, put it on your phone, and every time that thing comes, James says, submit unto God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. And pretty soon, you start getting this in your heart and producing it with your mouth, the enemy's going to be like, I'm not touching that one. I've been down that road. That one's worn out. He just is a believer. He's hard. He's got faith to win the victory. Faith comes from the Word of God. Jesus modeled what we should do. The enemy tested him with every physical need there is, and yet Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan." Talk about focus. If that's a picture for us, we need to get this word in our minds, in our hearts, and produce it with our mouth. It'll change your life. Faith begins where the Word of God is known. Amen. Get it in your heart. Amen. Faith begins where the Word of God is in your mouth and in your heart, and you're not moved by what you see or what you hear. Amen? Let's everybody stand up. Praise you, Father. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word of God's kind of important. The Word of God, everything was built around what the words of God. It's right there in the book. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your heart. Faith begins where the Word of God is known. So let's pray. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are our King, our Master, our Lord. Father, we declare today that we shall deposit the Word of God in our hearts, Lord. We shall produce it with our mouth. And Father, we shall increase our faith by increasing the Word. And Father, we thank you that faith begins where the Word of God is known. And Lord, as we progress and grow into holiness to be more like you, Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that these your people pack that Word of God in their hearts, God. And when the temptation comes, God, when the tempter shows up in their face and tries to rub it in them, it's just automatic, God, that the Word of God is produced with their mouth. Father, that they ignore those temptations and the enemy flees from their presence because they are yours. They are in the sheepfold. They belong to you, God. And we thank you for it. Now, if you're in this place today, and maybe, I was reading those scriptures about salvation. If that's not you, if you've never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And we're going to sing one last worship song before we go from here. But I encourage you, if you have a need in this place today, or if you want to just recommit your life or confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, I just want to ask you to raise your hand up high. Somebody will come and pray with you. It's pretty simple. It's not, we're not going to call you out, make you come up here. Everybody else is just going to be worshiping God, loving Jesus. And if you have a prayer concern, what on anything, children, your mom, whatever, I want to encourage you, raise your hand. We just want to add our faith to yours and just lay it before God. So any of those invitations anywhere, just raise up your hand. Somebody will pray with you. Otherwise, the rest of us, let's just worship God as we close out this service today. Hallelujah.